Hey, thanks for tuning in to the Keep Moving Forward podcast with Tom O'Leary. I am so grateful that you're listening and giving me feedback and asking questions, giving maybe some ideas about future podcasts. It's been so great. More people are listening and it's just so fun. I hope it's been helpful to you in your faith and in inspiring you to go further and farther and deeper with God. And so I'm just so grateful. Again, if you think of somebody who would benefit from the podcast, just share the message or send them to the website, www.tomoleary.org, and they'll find all the podcasts there. And wow, thank you so much. If you're financially supporting, it is making a huge difference. So thank you so much. I'm just so grateful. Well, in today's Keep Moving Forward podcast, we are going to talk about relationships. Uh-oh, bum, 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 bum. Relationships. Man, they can be hard, right? They can be great, but it can be a challenge. But you know, I've learned over the years that the things that mean the most to us is where you put the hardest work in, right? So it's all good. And you know, today we're going to be talking about how to love and honor in our relationships. So it's different for everybody. If you're married, you might be thinking of your spouse. If you're single, maybe your best friend or, you know, a sibling or a parent or, you know, for those that have children, your kid. We have so many different kinds of relationships, and that's all good. Maybe you're in a church and you have a lot of relationships with different people in your church. You know, it's always going to come down to Jesus being the model and us going deep into his word. And how do we love people? How do we honor people? Which the payoff is just a healthy relationship, whatever that relationship is. So that's what we're going after today. How to love and honor in our relationships. That's what it's all about, to love and honor other people. So here's what we're going to do. We are going to dive in to a passage that is, in fact, speaking about marriage. But here's the thing. If you're single, hold on, because the principles translate. The truth translates. And, you know, God used the illustration of marriage for the relationship of Jesus Christ and his bride, the body of Christ. And so it's kind of the idea that Jesus is the groom and that those that belong to him are part of his, the body, if you will, and that we are the bride and that Jesus, in fact, is coming back for the bride. So it's really good to kind of dig into some of these scriptures that are talking about marriage, but the illustration is it translates that in all our relationships, this is how you love. In all of our relationships, this is how you honor the other person. So let me read and start out in Ephesians 5, and it's verse 25. And so I'm going to just give you some, you know, principles that last throughout the ages. You know, it's right from God's word and it translates. So here we go. Ephesians 5 verse 25, it says, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." So that's a powerful concept. You know, so the first one that I want to challenge you with as you're thinking of your relationships is lay your life down. That's what Ephesians 5:25 is talking about. I mean, it says, I love the little two words, just as. Say that again, just as Jesus Christ loved the church. Well, what did Jesus do for the church? He died. He died. And, you know, it's this whole idea of going, okay, I'm going to live and I'm going to love like Jesus. And so we understand that this is super, super powerful. And I'll tell you what, in relationships, you have to die. Now, I've joked about this, like when someone gets married, you know, they die and it's called the first death. And then there's this passage in Revelations, the last book in the Bible, that talks about the second death. And I'm sure that's when children come along. I'm sure the interpretation is, yeah, you die when you get married and then kids come along and it's like, it's the second death, baby. You are dying to yourself. Well, I have this great verse and I call it my daily verse. It kind of sounds like Jeopardy, right? Ding, 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 ding. The daily double. Well, this is the daily verse. I've got it memorized. I say it every morning more than once. And it's Galatians 2:20. If you have the ability to write that down, that would be good. Or just come back and write it down. But whatever. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live. But Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This is the whole concept of us identifying with Christ crucified. And therefore, it's this spiritual thing of dying to our flesh. So we need to die to our flesh. And here's the thing. Many times a lot of preachers will say, you know, the old man, talking about the old person you used to be, the old man or the old woman, the flesh trying to come back up. And we got to be able to say, nope, you're dead. You're dead. It makes me think of the old Monty Python movie. Bring out your dead. Bring out your dead. He goes, I'm not dead yet. Oh, yep, you are dead. No, I'm not dead yet. You know, it's kind of funny. I don't know. But anyway, the whole thing is that your flesh is going to say, I'm not dead. And you got to be able to go, no, you're dead. You're dead. Those sinful desires, the temptations, the old person you used to be. And you just got to declare it according to Galatians 2:20. And so in your relationships, that's going to really bless your relationships. If, when you lay down your life, I'm laying down my life. I'm dying to selfishness. I'm dying to greed. I'm dying to pride. I'm dying to lust. I'm dying, you know, of the bad things. That's why Scripture says that we die to the bad things, but then we live for the good things. We live to Christ. And so that's powerful. I was officiating a wedding one time, and it was a Cal Poly football player. He had just graduated, so a former Cal Poly football player. And he's like 6'6", 6 foot 6 inches, 290 pounds. You guys, mammoth. He's a big boy. And halfway through the service, I go, okay, here it is. I'm going with you, man to man, toe to toe, eye to eye. And in this case, I'm only 6 feet tall and he's 6'6". So it was kind of like eye to his pecs, if you will. And I said, dude, you set the tone. You lay your life down. And I'm telling you, when you do that, your bride here, her response is, I'm going with you. I'm with you. And that is such a powerful concept of us getting to the place in any of our relationships where we're trying to love and we're trying to honor. It's always going to start with number one, lay your life down. Okay, this is powerful. Number two, it's all about reading the word. Now, these are people that are close to you, that are in your life. Again, it could be a best friend, it could be a spouse, it could be children. But here's the principle found in Ephesians 5, verse 26 and 27. It's talking to the husband, and it says to make her holy, cleansing her by washing with water through the word. And it makes the relationship radiant, Scripture says. It says without stain or wrinkle or blemish, but totally blameless. Wouldn't that be so beautiful if all your relationships were blameless? And here's the idea. It starts with God's word. And so I would just encourage you to begin to get into the Word, memorize the Word. I remember I was talking about the other podcast about how I'm swimming laps and I'm memorizing scriptures and then I recite the scriptures. And so, you know, on lap 13, I do Colossians 1:13. On lap 17, I do Colossians 3:17. You know, and so it goes. I just try to find a scripture that matches the lap and then I don't lose count. It's really a side benefit. But I'm diving into God's Word. Because guess what? Hebrews 4:12. Woo! Powerful, powerful scripture about God's Word. It says in Hebrews 4:12, "For the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." This is saying the Word is living. It says it's active. That means it's actively shaping you from the inside out. When it says divide soul and spirit, meaning it can separate the emotional, that would be the soul part, the soulish part, and the spiritual, the spirit. It's like this expert surgeon that can just go in and just delicately just, you know, separate what needs to be separated, you know, be able to do that. And that's what God's Word does. And so if you're like emotionally tied to a topic or a situation or a life decision, that's where we need God's Word to separate what's emotional and then what's spiritual and what God wants you to do. And so this whole idea in your relationships, I would just say, apply the Word. If you have that kind of relationship where you can even read the Word to one another, and, you know, just go for it. You know, maybe it starts with sending a text and you just pick out a beautiful scripture and you text it to your friend, your spouse, whatever relationship we're talking about, maybe your kid. And you say, "Hey, I read this scripture and it made me think of you." Now, make sure you pick out a really great scripture. Don't let it be one of those scriptures like, "And the pagans are going to hell." Yeah, don't do that one. And don't play Russian roulette. I've got a friend who's a pastor now, but the very first time he was in church as a younger man, he goes into this church and they didn't know who he was, but they said, "We're now going to have my friend come up and read from the Bible." And he's like, "What is going on? I don't even know what this is. I don't even know the Bible." And so he opens up this Bible and he decides, "I'm just going to go with, you know, Russian roulette." And so he puts his finger into the Bible and he lands on the last book in the Old Testament, Malachi. And he looks up to the crowd and says, "Now I shall read from that great Italian prophet, Malachi." He didn't know that it's actually Malachi. Anyway, okay, we're rooting into the Word. We're reading the Word. We're applying the Word to our relationships. Number three, selflessly love them. Think of what the relationship we're focusing on that you are, and selflessly love them. Now, Ephesians 5, verse 28 and 30 says, "In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body." So this passage is saying it's not 50-50. You know, we hear that all the time. "Well, you got a relationship, you know, it's 50-50. You know what? It's 100. It's actually 100-100, but you can't control the other person to throw in their 100. But guess what? You can throw in your 100, and that really makes God's heart happy. So number three is selflessly love them. And it's this whole idea of the power of love. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 through 8, you know, man nails it. And it says this, it's talking about love. So if you ever want to know what is love, and here we are talking about in this Keep Moving Forward podcast about our relationships. How do we love, and how do we honor? How do we love? How do we honor? And so 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 and 8 says, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. Or some translations actually say it's not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Verse 8, love never fails. That's another boom, baby, right there, right? Love never fails. So as we understand love and we understand what it really means to be selfless and to offer ourselves to the other person, that's where it's powerful. And we got to just lay down the pride. We got to lay down the argument. Here's one. You got to lay down the need to be right in so many of our relationships. Again, whether it's a spouse, whether it's a friend, whether it's a coworker, whether it's a adult child, you know, we have this thought, maybe it's a younger child, that's a little different dynamic, but this idea that the need to be right. Now, I'll never forget hearing this story from a friend of mine, and he's one of the most articulate friends that I know. He should have been a trial lawyer. He's not, but he would have been phenomenal, because he just can take a point and go boom, boom, boom and explain it. And he's just a great communicator. And he is one of the best people who can articulate something. And so, you know, many times our greatest strengths can be our greatest weaknesses. And so he was in a little spat with his wife, and he's just going down the list, proving her wrong, proving this, proving her wrong, making his point. And they get to the end, and she looks at him and very subtly, gently says, "You're right. You're right. But you are so wrong in the way you are right." Man, it just pierced his heart. It just, he thought, who am I becoming? And what am I becoming? And why do I have this driving need to be right with the person that I say that I love and I'm trying to lay my life down for? So it's just so powerful to come back, to lay it down and selflessly love her. Okay, we got two more. Number four, make the other person number one. Like that's what it's all about, to love and honor. And so it's this idea that where Scripture says in Ephesians 5, verse 33, again, it's this illustration of marriage, but it says, however, each one of you must love his wife as he loves himself. He's talking to the husband, and it says, and then it says the wife, you know, respect your husband. And it's this idea, again, going back to in our relationships, when you make that person number one, of course they're going to go, wow, I respect you. That's what the Scripture's talking about in Ephesians 5. So it's making him number one. And so many times a trap in our relationships is we get stuck, right? And it's like the wheels turning in the mud. Like when a car gets stuck in the mud and the wheels just keep spinning and you're going nowhere. Or it becomes rote. It becomes generic. It becomes this, you know, same old, same old. Don't do that with any of your relationships. Make it come alive. I love the Christmas movie Jingle All the Way with Arnold Schwarzenegger. And he's on the phone and he's like this busy businessman. And his wife calls and he's like, yeah, I got it. I'll do that. And don't forget, you're my number one customer. And he hangs up and goes, uh-oh. Because in every phone call, he would tell his customers, you're my number one customer. The last thing his wife wanted to hear in that moment is, you're my number one customer. Don't do that. And so it's this whole understanding that we make the other person number one. This is interesting. In Mark 10, verse 28, Jesus and Peter, Apostle Peter, the disciple at that time, had this conversation, and Peter says, "We have left everything to follow you." And I think that's the model for relationships, is that you're at a place where you're saying, "Wow, I'm making you number one. I'm leaving everything." And it's just so powerful. You know, Song of Songs or Song of Solomon talks about love being this mighty flame, this like blazing fire. And I love the illustration of the fireplace. You know, the fireplace is awesome. Maybe you have a fireplace or a fire pit, or you know, you like fireplaces. I don't know. But, you know, when a fire is in the fireplace, man, it's beautiful. It's cozy. It's functional. It's functional and beautiful. That's my wife's thing. She says if something in our house is not beautiful and functional, functional and beautiful, it gets thrown out. So I'm trying to stay beautiful and functional because I don't want to get thrown out. But I'm bummed. Okay, anyway, let's keep moving here. But that picture of a fireplace. But here's the deal. When a fire is outside of the fireplace, it's horrifically destructive and ultimately can burn down the house. So anger is outside of the fireplace. Blowing up is outside of the fireplace. Shouting out hurtful words is outside the fireplace. And you're causing fires where they don't need to be, and it could burn down the home. So we want the good fire, that blazing love, and that's the fire in the fireplace. It has a purpose, and it's beautiful and functional for sure. Okay, last one, number five. Now, this is interesting. It's still an illustration with a husband and a wife. And here's what I want to challenge you with number five, is to treat the other person with ultimate respect. So this illustration between a husband and wife, it's found in 1 Peter 3:7. It says, "Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wife. Treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so nothing will hinder your prayers." Okay, so this is huge. This is saying if you're not being considerate, you're not treating the other person with respect, your prayers are going to be hindered. It reminds me of in the weight room with a buddy, and he's doing squats, and he's got the barbell on his shoulders, and he said, like, "Put more weight on, Tom, put more weight on." And he goes down, and he's trying to get up with the weights, and he ekes out the words, "It ain't happening, bro." And I can't understand a word he's saying. I'm like, "What?" And he's like, "It ain't happening, bro." And his voice kept getting higher. I'm like, "What?" And I'm like, "Oh my goodness, it ain't happening, bro." You know, so I'm the spotter. So like I'm pulling the weights off of his shoulder. Here's the deal. If you're treating other people without respect, if you're not being considerate, Scripture says your prayers are going to be hindered. Meaning, you know, if you're treating them that way without respect, gosh, your prayers ain't happening, bro. That's the deal. So there you go. Wow. Relationships. And remember, as we said on the front end, you know, the big things in life, that's what we work for. That's what we go for. So let me recap. Okay. To love and honor other people, to love and honor those relationships in your life. Okay, number one, it's always going to start with laying your life down, for sure. And then, number two, is to read the word, apply the word. And in this relationship, if you can read the word together, that's super powerful. Number three, selflessly love them. Again, laying it down. And that definition of love in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, boy, we should memorize that one. Number 4, make them number 1. Like, they got to feel like they're number 1. And it's not because you have an agenda. It's because you honestly want them to feel number 1. And I'm talking about the most important relationships in your life. So that's what we're talking about. And it's that whole thing, like, man, I'm putting it all on the line. And that's so, so, so powerful. And then the last one, number 5, treat them with ultimate respect. It's so, so important because you don't want your prayers to be hindered. See, God sees it all. He knows it all. He's rooting for you and empowering you and certainly giving you His word and His spirit to empower you to be the best version of you in your relationships. Remember, you can't control the other person, but wow, we sure can do our part and then see what God does with it. And we just got to embrace that. We can't change other people, but we can do our part. And in our relationships, this is how we love and honor. So thanks so much. I'm going to pray for you. Father, thank you that you love every person that's listening to this so much. God, would you encourage them in their relationships? God, I know that relationships are up and down and high and low and, you know, sometimes easy, sometimes extremely difficult, really hard. And I pray that you would just encourage each person listening, that they'd get that into their heart and their soul, their mind, their DNA, their spiritual DNA, of laying their life down, making the other person number one, treating people with just ultimate respect. And Lord, you're going to bless that. You're going to bless it. It's your word. It's your promise. So bless them, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, thank you again for tuning in to the Keep Moving Forward podcast. Pass this on to a friend. Send them to the website, tomoleary.org. And certainly, thank you if you're financially supporting. If you want to start to support, just go to the website, tomoleary.org. Hit the donate button. Really grateful, super grateful. And don't forget, God loves you. He loves you. He loves you. And I'm for you. God bless.